Good morning. How are you guys doing? How are you going? You guys say going, not doing as much, don't you? And you, people, how are you going? I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm doing okay. Doing great. It is so incredible to be with you guys. This is one of my most favorite countries on earth. I do a lot of traveling. I'm a Bethel worship pastor, and so I do mainly like trips like that. We'll bring teams and do worship conferences and teachings and all that kind of stuff. But the school asked me if I wanted to lead a mission trip or a ministry trip this year. And they gave me a whole list, and on the list was New Zealand. I said, no question, New Zealand, take me there, let's go. I was doing a worship conference in Melbourne, Australia, about 2 years ago, and my friend and I, my bassist, and I decided to come over, and we toured the Southland, the South Island, and just got rocked by Jesus. And I've just been, even this 2 or 3 days I've been here, just been so touched by you guys. I feel like you just get it. Like you get the spirit, you get the language of the spirit. We were in Rupikapika 2 days ago, and that all of us were like bawling, crying just in this ceremony. It was so amazing. Just like the deep spiritual impact. My entire team was like, what just happened? We got a custom like Maori greeting and welcoming into the ceremony. It was really beautiful. And then this clan of seer shows up, and I was like, whoa, this is gonna be good. This is a setup. I felt like I was like back in like Second Kings, and we're like gonna call fire down on the altar, and it was so amazing. It was so amazing. And they ascended this hill, and they start singing. And then one of our people in our group starts singing the customary Maori, I don't really know what it was, back to them. And they're singing. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So they come up, and then we do the hongi, right? Is that correct? Yeah. Where you breathe in. Is that correct? I say it correctly? Yeah, okay, great. You breathe in the life spirit of each other and welcome each other. And they just lined up like it was like a prophetic thing. And we just started speaking over them. We're like, you guys are seers. So are we. And they're like, whoa. And they, you know, they had all the trinkets and garb on and all the different stuff. And we just prophesied over all of them. And numerous of them were like, how do you get that clear visions? Like, I have to go into my room and light a candle and be quiet for an hour. And we're like, we just love Jesus. And they're like, okay, yeah. They just literally did not know where to put us at all. We didn't use a lot of Christian religious language in the beginning. We talk a lot about like the great spirit, the light, because they're actually able to receive it. And they're not throwing up their walls immediately. And then when they ask us like, where are you from? We're like, oh, we go to a supernatural school. And they're like, amazing. Where is this school? We're like, oh, in California. Who are you? And we're like, oh, we actually just love Jesus. And they're like, interesting. Okay, great. It was a hysterical, beautiful, momentous moment. Several of them like were like falling out, and we were just speaking joy over them, a couple healings. It was a really, really amazing time. Just classic New Zealand. I love it so much. Just wide open to the spirit. I've been in very few other places that I feel like are so wide open to the spirit. I feel like it's really, really something that you all carry. It's in the land. It's in all around you. You just get the language of the spirit. I love it. We were in your glowworm caves yesterday. If you haven't gone, Abbey Caves, there's little glowing worms. And you sit underneath these little glowing worms. And it was dark. And we started singing. Like our group just started. We didn't really plan it. We just started singing. And it was such an amazing, beautiful moment. You're like under like this like cosmos of glowworms, but in this cave, such a beautiful thing. So yeah, such an honor to be here with you. I said last night, I feel like I'm at my cousin's or my brother's house. It's just so fun. Just seeing so much that yet you're fully your own house. You're fully your own identity. There's no question about you're trying to repeat or reproduce something, but you're fully rooted in who you are as Bethel, New Zealand. It's so incredible. So fun to be with you guys. Today I wanted to share a little bit. You guys have been hitting on community here recently, and so I wanted to share a little bit of the language of the Spirit that you all know, but then as well how that connects to your heart, to your own inner world. Do you guys know Jonathan and Melissa Helser? They're worship leaders from North Carolina. They do a school for the heart in the summer. Actually, not in the summer anymore. But for 5 years, I directed that, and we helped pioneer a lot of the teaching about, like, oh, you have a heart, you have a spirit, you can connect to that, and how you actually connect to your inner man. And now taking that over and putting it into more Bethel language. The past 6 years I've been there. Leading worship teams, and I'm now a pastor in the second year school. So revival group pastor. Do you guys know what that is, revival group pastor? You have revival groups here, don't you? Kind of home groups. It's about a 65-person group in our school. But the language of the Spirit, what does it look like? We're a triune being. A lot of you guys know this. Triune being. You're spirit first. You're alive. Your spirit that connects to Jesus. When you ask Jesus into your heart, Jesus, come into my heart. That's a lot of the language of it, right? In Deuteronomy 4, it says, I'm going to turn there real quick. Oh, we're just going to load. Yeah, but it is from there you'll seek the Lord your God and find him if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. You don't have to turn, but with all your heart and all your soul. So this I could go throughout the different verses, but this idea that you have a spirit, you are a spirit. Who you are is a spirit, eternal, right? And when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, you meet the undying, uncreated spirit, and you collide with him, and he lives inside of you. Jesus, come into my heart, right? And then you have a soul. Right? So you are a spirit, you have a soul. So a soul would be your mind, your will, your emotions, your feelings. I love emotions so much. Emotions aren't meant to lead us, right? A lot of times we talk about emotions not leading us, but they are beautiful guides that lead us back to Jesus. That allowing frustration to actually lead you to the root of the frustration, then getting down to it, let's talk about it, Jesus. Hey, let's talk about this right now, this frustration, and then allowing it to lead you back to the cross, right? So this idea that your soul is a mind, your will, and your emotions. And so allowing those things to lead you to the cross, we're not functioning led by emotions, but we do allow them to lead us to Jesus. And then you have a body, right? This body, this beautiful, beautiful thing. I love that Jesus came as a baby. He didn't come as a 30-year-old. If I had been on the board meeting in heaven for the task force to send Jesus to save the world, I would have said, hey, it'd be a really great idea if he went as a 30-year-old. I would have said that. I honestly would have. That would have been wisdom to me. Send him as a 30-year-old. Get down there. He'll shabba-wow everybody. Get him saved. Get him healed. Get him all patched up. And then we'll save the world. He'll die on the cross. And then the world will know Jesus. That's what I would have said. But he didn't. He came as a baby who pooped and peed, right? And stunk, I'm sure, right? He came as a baby. So that in of itself tells me that Jesus thought this human life was worth living. And it was his great joy to wrap himself in flesh. We don't have much in the scriptures other than him and Jesus in the temple as a baby. But if he came as a newborn baby out of Mary, he could have appeared as a man, right? He could have come walking out of the wilderness and I am Jesus, right? As a 30-year-old. That's probably what I would have said to do. That seems wise, a wise man. People will know him. But he didn't. He came as a baby, right? And he grew up, and the people who knew him discredited him. Why? Because it was normal. So I think sometimes we can discredit the normal in our life. This land's really spiritual for me because it's not my normal. And so I come to New Zealand, and I'm wowed by your mountains and your seas and your cliffs and all these beautiful, amazing things. We're staying out in Tutukaka, which is this beautiful, beautiful place. The coast and the ocean rolling in the mornings. And I'm wowed by it. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. But sometimes we can discredit that which we're used to, right? When you're around it a lot, you can discredit it. And sometimes you need people to come in and be like, what? Your country is amazing. It is so beautiful. It is so beautiful. So Jesus considered it a pure joy to come and wrap himself in flesh. So this human life, this life that we're living, is actually worth living, right? The waking up in the morning, the alarm going off, hitting the alarm, the coffee that you're pouring, the food that you're having, right? All the in-betweens, all the highs and the lows are actually worth living if you're living redeemed and we're living fully restored, right? So you're a spirit. you're a soul, you have a body, right? So this idea of your triune being. And I love that because so many times we can get frustrated and we can get blocked in trying to reconcile the three, right? So we can get roadblocked in where we're going and how we're trying to reconcile life. But instead of simply just sinking down into Jesus and remembering, hey, you have a spirit. You are a soul, allowing your mind, your will, your emotions to lead you back to the cross. And then you have a body, and that they're all worthwhile. And so we're just looking at, like, connecting all of them. So how do you connect them? I think a massive part of how you connect them is if you are a triune being, so is he. Earth and heaven match way more than you think. You're a triune being, just like the Trinity. In the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he wasn't alone. He wasn't alone. He was with the Father and the Son. In the beginning of John 1, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. Jesus, the Word was made flesh, right? So Jesus was with God the Father, and the Spirit of the God was hovering over the waters, Genesis 1. The Spirit of God was hovering over. So even God, in his eternal wisdom, considered it a good thing to create within family. He thought it was a really, really good idea for the Trinity to create and sculpt the world. And similarly, he made us to be three layers, three different experiences, body, soul, spirit, all colliding in together into one. So what does it look like to actually speak the language of the Spirit? I think sometimes we can limit the works or nature of the Lord by what he's done in the past, right? And we can instead look, instead of watching to see how he's going to move right now. So some of you have been in wild revival meetings. You've been in amazing, like, renewal meetings. I grew up in the Vineyard. Is the Vineyard Church big here? Did you guys know the Vineyard Church? Yeah. It's just a movement of churches that I grew up with. Shofars and flags and anointing oil and, like, river banners. You'd, like, wave them. And it was just, like, crazy charismatic mania. And people were dancing all around. It was amazing. I loved it. I thought it was normal till I went to my friend's church and they were singing out of hymnal books. And I was like, where are the transparencies? They had the little transparencies up on the back wall there. You guys from the 90s, you know what I'm talking about, right? And I thought that was really, really normal, but I can very easily limit God to what I understand of him from the past, right? Oh, if they're laughing, that has to be God because that's joy. Maybe, maybe not. Oh, if revival will look like this, fill in the blank, because I've seen it before. But sometimes we can limit the works, the nature of God, by what we understand in the past, instead of emptying ourselves and looking for what he is doing now. I think it's sometimes in order to move in power, we actually have to limit what we're good at. Many, many times I feel like we can walk in and do the things that we're really, really good at. Hey, I'm really strong in this area. I'm a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. I'm a pastor. I love sitting in my office and having coffee with people and talking to people who know the Lord. I'm not an evangelist. I'm a pastor, right? You've limited yourself. Jesus was a fivefold ministry, right? Jesus was a fivefold ministry. Yeah, you might be strong in one of the five. You might be an evangelist. You might be a pastor, a teacher. But what if you're growing and expanding to look like the manifold nature of God? And you're actually walking in all of them. I love it. So we're not limiting ourselves to how we've experienced God in the past. And so I think sometimes we have to lay down the things we're good at in order to attract power. Humility attracts power. Humility attracts power. Weakness invites covering, right? And there is no voids in nature. I saw this, the movie Interstellar. Did you guys see that about a couple years ago? I bawled, I cried. Didn't take much, but I did. And I got fascinated by wormholes. These things like the wormhole time warp thing. I'm a little bit of a nerd in that sense. I started researching all these things. And I came to find through my not great research, but the amount of research I could do on Safari and Google, that there are no voids in nature. nowhere on earth and in the heavens and in all throughout creation as we know it, there are no voids. Even black holes have particles. They have different compounds. They have different chemicals that are floating in space. In Earth, you always have air around you. You always have oxygen. You always have hydrogen. You have different things that make up the air you breathe in. There is no void in nature. So why are we afraid to pour out? Because the more you pour, by laws of nature, you have to be filled. Humility attracts power. Humility and humbleness, meekness, attracts power because the Lord loves to fill. He loves to rush in. It's what he does. A river can't flow without pouring out, without serving the body, without a community of people that you come to the same table, that you come day in and day out, and you come back to the family table of God. There's a seat for you. It's marked out for you. And the more you give, the more has to rush in. I love it. Humility attracts power. So we're learning what it looks like to actually be humble, to actually be meek, but yet be confident, right? This idea of like we're confident sons and daughters, but I'm rooted in the meekness and the humility of Jesus. I feel like sometimes the Lord withholds himself in order for us to find him, right? I feel like he actually withholds himself, and we're wondering where he's at because he's actually more interested in your eyes being locked on him than your entire map being laid out before you. He's more interested in us seeing his face and the connection that happens in that moment than he is in telling you A, B, C, D, E, F, you're going to get to Z, right? He's more interested in the connection that happens in that moment. And so sometimes I feel like we can feel like, Holy Spirit, where are you? Jesus, where are you? He's all around you. But he's more interested in you connecting with him than he is in laying out the the plan for your life. I grew up, like I said, I grew up in ministry world and went to all the conferences. The next person came into town. I love it. All the different speakers and bands. And I would travel with my dad. My dad was a vineyard pastor, and we would travel with Randy Clark and Bill. And so I grew up going to all these conferences. And I realized that I was living from conference high to conference high to conference high. Let me just get to the new encounter. Let me just get to the new, you know, revelation, the new, like, whatever the next thing was, the next book. And I was living from moment to moment, actually not finding the Lord in all around me. So I was walking around, and I'm like, Holy Spirit, where are you? Right? We all have had those moments. Holy Spirit, where are you? Where are you going? What's happening all around me? What's happening? And Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, decided to cloak himself in his nature and things all around us. I remember one of my first years in ministry school, I had this little orange bike, and I was like riding down this hill. It was a really junky little crappy bike, and it was squeaking. And as I was flying down this hill, the wind was blowing through this tree, and I looked up, and I felt the Lord told me, Peter, I'm in the wind. He's not the wind. Don't get weird. Yeah? He's not the wind, but his nature is in the wind. He's not the wind, right? We're not praying to the God of the wind. But we are looking to find the nature of Jesus in the wind all around us, right? In the morning rain that comes down, he always comes, right? He rains down. And the sun rises, so does his faithfulness. So if he created all things, he can be found in all things. And suddenly, if he can be found in all things, and we can see him in everything, we won't miss him in anything. He's all around us. God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? I need you to break through in my finances. I need you to break through in my family. Where are you? I'm in the rain. Where are you? I'm in the steam rising off your tea in the morning. He's not the steam. Don't get weird, right? But his nature and what he's like can be found, Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Glory fills the temple like a cloud, right? What he is like can be expressed in the kingdom all around us. And we limit him to amazing worship sets, which I love and I've given my life to. But we limit him to amazing worship sets. That worship set was amazing. I can't wait till the next night, right? And we wait for the next high and the next high and the next mountaintop to fill us up. But life isn't lived on mountaintops. You guys know that. You have a lot of amazing mountains here. You can't live on mountaintops. They make really great Instagram moments. They make really great photos. But you can't live up there. Life doesn't grow on mountaintops. You don't live there. You live in the valley. So there has to be something found in the everyday simplicities of life. Jesus thought it was worthwhile to wrap himself in skin and come as a baby that stunk. And he wrapped himself in flesh because this human life is worth living really well. And savoring and tasting the moments. You're a spirit who has a soul who lives in a body. But I want to savor every single moment of it. Every single moment of it. So I feel like we're learning to find God in the simple things. To find him in the beauty of simplicity all around us. And so no longer waiting for the next conference, waiting for the next thing to come in and snap its fingers and for you to get revelation and suddenly everything's settled. But you're finding him right in the seat you're sitting on. It's strong. It's sturdy. It's padded a little bit. Right? He's not the chair, but his structure and his strength can be found. He's all around you. He's not limited to what we think. He's not just words in the Bible, although everything is anchored and rooted in the Bible, and everything stems from that place, but he's so much more than that. His nature can be found all around you, and suddenly we're crying out, Jesus, where are you? Where are you? I'm in the sun this morning, Peter. Open your eyes. Feel my warmth coming down. I'm faithful. I'm faithful. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't toil. They're clothed with all the wisdom of Solomon, and they're not wondering where they're going to get their rain the next day. They simply trust. I feel like we're learning what it looks like to really love this life again, to love living again, to savor the beauty that's been created for us. The kindness of the Father to create life all around us. So what does it look like to live in connection and community with others? Because you can't do it alone. You really can't do it alone. You weren't designed to do it alone. Jesus didn't do it alone. Uncreated God didn't do it alone, right? So I feel like in the beginning, Father was creating. In the beginning was the Word, right? Jesus was with Father. So in the beginning, God spoke. We're kind of mirroring John 1 and Genesis 1 right now. So they all spoke, and God said, let there be light. And the light that he spoke in the very beginning is still expanding all over the universe all around us. It's still expanding. It's still unfolding. It's still unbelievably expanding out more and more and more. Let there be light. And Jesus, I think, was like, oh, that's good. Look at it go. And it's shooting across the eons and the ages, right? Where time is actually not a factor. And it's shooting out across, all across the cosmos of heavens. And then the Holy Spirit is like creating and hovering over the depths of the water. And he's speaking to the water. And the Spirit of God, right, is connecting with the Father of God, is connecting with Jesus the Son. And this trio, this beautiful trinity of heaven, is cheering each other on. How much more is your body actually connected to your soul, actually connected to your spirit? You're a triune being. He's a triune being. You're three. But you're not supposed to do it alone. And Jesus, not considering himself to be equal with God, took on flesh and came down to live and dwell among us. You're not supposed to do it alone. So what does it look like for you to do vulnerability and life with people? I'm going to get a little vulnerable here. How are we doing on time? Good. My girlfriend is in London right now, and she's was a pastor in our first year environment. And so she had a revival group of lots of different people, and she lost her mom to cancer in September. But yet we go to a church that believes and have seen, and we see miracles all the time, all the time. There's another person getting up on Bethel TV talking about how they were wildly cured of leukemia. We believe in it and we champion it, and we're going after the supernatural things of God, right? But sometimes we don't know why. Things don't always work out that way. And so you have to wrestle with disappointment. What are you wrestling with this morning? Probably wrestling with something. Disappointments, hardships, expectations that were failed, whatever it was. But we wrestle with them. So we're not ignoring pain. We're not ignoring things. And in her area of greatest need, we as a community rallied around her. We don't understand why things don't always happen. But in that place, we're choosing to believe that he actually is still good. I don't get it. I don't understand what's happening in your world. I don't know what's going on, but you're not alone. You never were alone. You don't have to do this alone. And God, in his infinite wisdom, created you to not do this alone. You need people. You need people all around you. So what does it look like for you to live actually, honestly, transparent? And so we wrestled a bit in the beginning of how do you be honest and real with people yet still good and full of grace? How are you doing? I'm great. Do you guys say how are you doing? How are you going? Is that Australian or is that New Zealand? How's it? Two words. How's it? Not one word. One word. Okay. How's it? Right? And if you're not careful, you can come in, how's it? Great, good to see you, great, poof, gone, right? If you're not careful, we can really easily like, hey, how's it? Great, cool, bye, right? And you're quickly rushing through life instead of doing authentic community with people, right? Instead of being honest and real with people all around you, right? I love that Jesus, for 3 years, lived life with the disciples. Why? Because he didn't want to do it alone. Trinity, triune. He didn't want to do it alone. So he spent 3 years with the boys, fishing with them, eating dinner with them, walking with them, just in normal everyday life. I don't think the committees and angelic boards in heaven decided that Jesus should compare the kingdom to yeast before he came. Hey, when you go down to earth, it'd be a really great idea for you to compare the kingdom of God to yeast. I don't think that happened. I think Jesus was just sitting down at the table with the boys, and he looked around. He's like, the kingdom, it's like, that baker over there, that bakery, it's like the yeast that he takes, this little tiny bit of yeast, and that little tiny bit of yeast put into the loaf influences the entire loaf. Why? Because it's the kingdom, and the kingdom is like that. When you put in the true, authentic love of Jesus into community, when you take the true, authentic love and put it into a loaf, suddenly the entire loaf expands, right? We were with these amazing, beautiful seers up on this mountaintop, and suddenly they encountered the real God, the real God. And we're not trying to shove anything down their throats. We're not trying to say we're better than you. We're not coming like that. We're coming with humility and meekness and saying, hey, there's actually real love. There's actually real love. And we love you just like you are. Just like you are. He loves you because he loves you because he loves you because he loves you, period. How do you see so good? I don't know. We just love you. We actually just love you. You don't have to do a thing. You don't have to wear another jade necklace or put on another little stone or anything, although I love that stuff. I'm so into it, right? Yeah, give me that jade necklace, whatever it is, right? But you don't have to do a thing. All you have to do is come to the table. All you have to do is show up with all of your mess, all of your sweat, all of your stuff you bring, all your stones, all your rubies, all that stuff. All you got to do is show up because there's a seat marked out with your name on it. How are you inviting people to your table? How are you inviting people to your table? I'm asking myself this question right now, guys. I'm in a ministry environment. I'm surrounded by Christians all the time, but I gotta get out to the hungry people because people are starving. Whangarei is starving for the real experience of Jesus. and suddenly they encounter their real love. Oh my gosh. And their bodies are healed in a moment, right? Their souls are healed in a moment. Their emotional pain, their emotional drought that they're trying to go and do all these different things are healed in a moment simply because, hey, I love you. And it's said by a handshake. It's said by a honky greeting, right? And breathing in. It's said in a smile. It's said in Jesus is found in the simplicity of the things all around us. I see you. I see you. And you're full of love. You're not alone. It's so much more simple than we make it out to be. It's so much more simple. This gospel. Come to me like little children. Come to me like little children. I'm not complicated. I'm layered. I'm not complicated. I'm really simple. Kingdom of God is like yeast, little tiny bit, little couple little seeds influences the entire loaf. Community. I feel like you guys are doing it so well. Just even running with you guys the past couple days has just been so amazing. It's been so beautiful just seeing you. I feel like I'm like at Christmas at my brother's house or Christmas at my cousin's house. I said that last night. Brothers, yeah. But my brother does Christmas differently than I do it, right? He does it differently, but it's a beautiful way. You can't have unity without diversity. If you have unity without diversity, you just have conformity. If you have unity without diversity, it's just conformity. But unity with diversity, that equals color. That equals vibrancy. That equals differences. I'm blue and you're purple and that's okay. I'm yellow and you're green and that's okay. I'm embracing your past. I'm embracing this idea that the kingdom is like a big table that stretches for eons and eons and eons. And the kingdom like this table laid out before you. And I love chicken, but you love steak, right? But I'm a vegetarian. And suddenly all these different people are coming to the table and they're eating the manifold colors of God all around us. And we're discovering what he looks like for me, not for you. What does he look like in you? How does he express himself through you? Through your job, through your Excel sheet form that you're filling out for your work, right? In your nursing job, right? In your education, whatever you're doing, whatever business you're in, how is he expressing himself through you? What color are you? And how are you expressing yourself? You look like him. You look like him. We're all children, and we look like our dad. We're all children. And you don't have to do this alone. Language of the Spirit. The Spirit searches the deep things of God, locked up and hidden away from that which is normally accessible. But when he reveals it, many times it's hard to grasp, not because it is not of this world or within our normally process of comprehension, but because it's the Spirit of God alive in us and revealing the deep things all around us. Deep cries out to deep, cries out to deep. Some of the most beautiful, simple truths are things that are so simple that you haven't heard before, but they collide with your spirit, and you're like, I always knew that to be true, and I didn't know why. But now you put it into language, and I understand it. That's the language of the Spirit. You colliding with truth you always knew to be true. So simple, so beautiful. Yeah. I'm gonna pray for you and then we're gonna transition and have a little bit of fun. But Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you that you created us to be spirits. Thank you that we're like lights shining out over the decades, spanning time and space. Thank you, God, that you gave us beautiful souls, mind and wills and emotions, not to be slaves to them, but to allow them to be guides to lead us back to you, the redemption that you paid for on the cross. Thank you, God, that you gave us the gift of bodies and the beautiful physical world all around us, that we can taste you in the lunch we're going to eat after this. We can taste your nature and what you're like. We can see you in the things all around us. We see you in the eyes and the smile of people because you reflect and you are a beautiful physical God. Thank you that you didn't have to create the mountains and the seas and the valleys and the ocean, but you did. You didn't have to create all the stars in the heavens, but you did. You didn't have to create glowworms, but you did. Simply because it would manifest a nature of your side and what you look like. Yeah, I release a grace for beautiful family over you. You are an amazing, amazing family. And you look like him. You sound like him. Keep running the race. Keep fighting the good fight. You're doing so good. You're doing so good. You're doing so good. You're doing so good. He's so proud of you. Your father is so proud of you. He is unbelievably proud of you simply because you're his. You don't have to do a thing. You don't have to try harder. You don't have to snap your fingers in another way. He's proud of you simply because of who you are, because you look like him. You sound like him. Your Father in heaven considered it a great idea to not leave you alone. And because that, he surrounded you with the people all around you. He surrounded you with the nature of who he is all around you. Feel him in the rain. Sense him in the things all around you. You're not alone. You never were. Sometimes we just need new eyes to see how not alone we are. Yeah, I seal on your hearts right now the affection of a proud father. The affection, the smile of Jesus welling up inside of you. It's not too good to be true. And he is smiling. And he loves you enough to not leave you the same. He loves you enough to not leave you where you're at, but to call you higher. In the name of Jesus, amen. So guys, we're gonna, yeah, thanks. I think we're gonna have a little bit of fun this morning in the next like 20 minutes or so before we close. But this is what family looks like, and we're gonna come to the table, figuratively, so to speak. When we grew up, hey, team, we're going to do prophetic stuff, so just gear up. when I grew up, we would come to the table, my brothers and sisters and I, and our parents would have us share good things, and we were like, ugh, like we had to do like these things called good things, and sometimes they were a little like, I played with Johnny on the swing set. You know what I mean? Like it was like very small for a 5-year-old, but it gave us this idea that we actually have something to contribute to the table. You have something to contribute. And so today we're just your brothers and sisters from a different hemisphere coming down and reminding you who you are and remembering who you are, remembering you back to the body. If you felt like you're disconnected, you're loose. We actually are a body, Paul, like you're the hands or the feet. You're a body, the church, a beautiful church, expressing itself differently, like a hand, like a foot, like an eye, like a nose. You're the beautiful body coming together. So today, we're just coming down to pump some beautiful life into you, fill you with some encouragement, and remind you who you are, to remember you back to the body, right? Oh my gosh, I forgot, right? Cool, guys. You guys want to come up here? So we're going to do a little bit of a prophetic ministry. Guys, I want to give you guys know this, but I like to repeat this wherever I'm at. But the prophetic, maybe some of you guys grew up in churches where the prophetic had you stand up and they're calling out all of your sin and different struggles you're going through. That's real. I grew up in the South of the United States, and it was, brother, I see you're struggling with lust, right? And you're like, oh God, right? And they're like calling out all your thing. You're struggling with comparison. Okay, wow. That's actually not how we roll. The spirit of prophecy is meant to edify. It's meant to build up. It's meant to encourage. And it's meant to remember and remind you of who you are and your greatness, right? A good coach doesn't always tear down. He also encourages and builds up, right? As a parent, if you're always tearing down your kids, they may not amount to much. But if you're reminding them, hey, maybe you should do your English homework because maybe one day you're going to write books, right? What if you, well, actually, you should probably do your biology homework because one day you might want to be a biology and be a scientist that discovers a new breakthrough for medicine. You're reminding them of their greatness. This morning, we want to remind you of your greatness. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean we're glossing over hard stuff, but that can be done within community. That can be done within beautiful connection. For the amount of correction you have, you need an equal amount of connection. Yeah? The amount of correction needs to equal the amount of connection. Okay? So if you're having like a correction moment with a leader or with friends or whatever, make sure you're connected that much as well. If you're a deep, deep friend and you have a ton of history, you probably have a good amount of money to withdraw from the bank of your relationship to actually bring in a little bit of correction or a little bit of honesty or truth or vulnerability. Does that make sense? Yeah. But this morning, we're just going to focus on encouraging you, reminding you who you are. Sound good? Squad, I haven't even told you guys what we're doing. But just prophetic words. You guys know the drill. If you guys get words of knowledge and you want to go after healing, go after that as well. So do both and we'll kind of flow for the next 20 minutes or so. You guys good with this? Feel good? Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Who wants it?
Is anyone called Paul? Yeah. Awesome. Hi, I'm Marcus. Two. Oh, there's quite a few. Stand up. I got your name in worship, and I also got a picture. And I feel like the Lord wants to invite you guys into new levels of intimacy. I got a picture just of a river, and I don't know where you're at, but I just sensed the Lord was saying just to step in and experience like His love just rushing over you, just not to be satisfied by standing and observing, actually by stepping in and experiencing His goodness and His love even more, and the beautiful mystery in stepping into something that you don't know, that you've maybe not experienced before, and just letting His perfect love rush in over you. And I don't know what it looks like for you practically, whether it's spending time personally on your own in the mornings, or if it's spending time worshiping or stepping out and taking risks. But I feel just like for you guys, the Lord's inviting you into new levels of intimacy and connection, knowing who He is. I just wanted to share that with you guys.
Hi, lady in the back, you have a bun on and a dress that's black and white, earrings. Yeah, you just look down. What's your name? What was that? Petrina? I'm Mitch. So do you paint? You used to? Yeah, I really feel like God is bringing an increase of inspiration in your life, and that there's like this excitement and joy towards life, that there's this invitation that God is inviting you into. And it's like a gift. Like He's giving you this. And specifically in the area of hope, I feel like that with inspiration, it's a gift, but I feel like hope is a choice. So as you interact with this, with inspiration given from God, I feel like you get to choose hope. And that doesn't always look like some like elusive, like, oh, I get to be happy about this. It's like, no, I'm choosing hope, and I'm choosing to stand firm in this. And I wanted to just affirm you that you are a very powerful woman of God, and He sees you that way. And I saw a legacy over your life, that you have a very strong legacy that you will leave. And that the meaning that you impact a lot of people, and that what you say really matters, and the things that you create will be lasting, and they will inspire other people to create greater things. So yeah, I just wanted to speak that over you, that you just really carry legacy on your life, and God is really seeing inspiration. I also got something else. Anybody that's struggling with nightmares, can you raise your hand? Nightmares in general. just fear at night, anything, like even rough sleep. Like, yeah. Okay, cool. If you guys could stand up, I just want to pray for you real quick. There's like a few of you guys. Everybody is great, whoever struggled with that. Cool. Yeah. I really feel like God is replacing that today and that it's ending today. And that with it is coming encounters in the night from him. Encounters with Jesus specifically. Yeah. So God, I thank you. I thank you that you, that nightmares aren't from you, God. God, I thank you that you are so good and you care about even our sleep, God. And so I just bless these people that are standing up right now with rest. And we say no to nightmares in Jesus' name, that they have no place in their sleep. Yeah. And we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to just come in the night and speak to them in ways that they've never encountered you before, God, for visions that are so vivid that they've never seen before, God, and that they would wake up feeling rejuvenated in ways that they've never felt before. And that even people that call themselves night people would start calling themselves morning people, that you would jump out of bed and be like, I'm so ready for today because you felt like you were prepared in the night. So yeah, I just bless you in Jesus' name.
So I started praying for prophetic words for New Zealand before we came. And I'm not sure if this is necessarily for your group because we're going a couple other places. But and it kind of sounded crazy to me, but I'm going to be faithful and step out. Is there somebody either named Pat or Patricia or has a cat with that name? If you do, you raise your hand. No? Okay, cool. I wasn't sure if that was for this group, but I promised the Lord I'd say it, even though it sounds ridiculous. But I also was just praying about it, and I felt like I wanted to just release breakthrough over anybody who had like sinus issues. I don't know if anybody's struggling that here, but on the plane ride over here, my ears don't usually equalize ever. I've struggled with that my whole life. And on the plane ride here, I got breakthrough in that. Like the entire time, I didn't have any ear pressure. And I feel like it's linked to my sinuses. So I just wanted to release that breakthrough. If anybody, if anybody wants to stand up for that, either ear or headaches, sinus pressure, just wanted to release that over you guys. Okay, yeah, if you just, those around them, if you want to lay hands on them, that would be awesome. Cool. Okay, I just speak to everybody standing right now, and I just speak to the sinuses and in the inner ear, and I just declare healing to come over your bodies. That breakthrough is coming, that the year 2017 is your breakthrough. So I just break that off of you, and I just speak peace to your sinuses and to your ear canal and to every single facet that's designed to function properly. I just speak right now that it would function the way that God created it and that his blood was spilled out for this and that his wounds make you heal and whole in Jesus' name. Yeah, if anybody felt any like breakthrough or if you can test it out in any way, that would be, yeah. Peter says blow your nose. Did anybody, if you just want to wave your hand, if you felt anything change? Okay, can't test it. Okay, well, if you feel anything through the week or you can notice a difference.
I'm gonna press into this real okay. quick. Yeah, just test it out real quick, guys. Just whatever you need to do. Just release pressure or like whatever it is. Any changes? Sometimes you don't even realize it. Take a second. No. Great. There you go. Got one. Things are louder. Come on. Opening up. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Yeah, anybody else? A coolness? Yeah. Come on. Who else? Guys, sometimes it just takes a little bit of risk. This is me risking right now. Do you see what I'm saying? I feel like the Lord, we talked about earlier, where we limit ourselves and we reduce our power a bit, right? We could very quickly rush out, but it doesn't take much faith to pray for someone. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Bye. right? That doesn't take much faith. It really doesn't. What takes faith is like, hey, who's healed? Right? Who's actually stepping out and doing this thing? It takes a little bit of like risk to be like, I don't know. There might be no one that raises their hand. And then you're going to think that I'm a bogus pastor. Right? Right? That's real. That's real. So, yeah. And I mean, we got two. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Sometimes that looks like us just thanking the Lord. Anybody else? Great. We got, see, they're popping off. Let's go. What's up? What happened? You can't breathe through your nose properly. You didn't even stand up. And you can take deep breaths through your nose right now. Come on. Come on. You as well. Or are you just, you're just praising. Yep. Lift that hand. Thank you, God. Cool. Anybody else? We'll move on. Great.
Hey, I forgot your name. It's you right there.
Lynette.
Yes. I met you a few nights ago at the pizza place. And I know that you work with bees and stuff. But I was just thinking like how, just like the Lord was just giving me the picture of like how the bees, when they pick up the honey, and I kind of see you like as a bee. And I feel like you have a voice that needs to be heard. And you're very, very sweet. But I feel like the Lord's like, your voice needs to be heard. And I just see you bringing restorations to people's hearts. And yeah, I don't even know if that's with counseling or what, but I just see you moving towards that area. And yeah, your voice needs to be heard. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, bless you. Also, for the lady in the hat, the black hat right there, and the necklace, she's smiling. What's your name? Say it again. Yes? Is that right? Yes, I'm Anna. I just felt like the Lord is just going to give you new levels of hope where you have felt like you were lost in something and you thought it was totally gone, but he's going to redeem those things and he's going to bring you back that hope again, and he's just going to fill you with his love and his peace, and you're just going to begin to know the goodness of who he is again, and you're just going to begin to see how amazing of a God he is, but also how amazing of a father he is to you, and he just honestly just wants to dance with you. And I just bless you with that. I bless you with new levels of hope and of joy, and I just see that all over you and just his peace and warming you up. Yeah, bless you.
Yeah, you, sir, right there in the plaid, and your wife. Are you guys married? Are you two married? You're what's that? You, I see you. I saw you together, and I shouldn't probably assume stuff like that. It's pretty bold to assume, but yeah, I really saw particularly for you, sir. First of all, I want to honor you. And if we can do this, I don't know if we do this, but just as a congregation, I just really want to honor you. Yeah. Yes, Father, thank you. And I just want to say that you are so seen and that you are so valuable, and that sometimes if you feel like you're on the scenes, if you're on the sidelines, and if you feel overlooked, you're totally not, because you are such a vital piece to anywhere you go. I just see that you have a tremendous heart for people, that a lot of the things that people don't see or they overlook in a crowd, you see. You're so observant of people, and you feel the atmosphere around you. And I just feel like you have this tremendous gift in actually pulling out the gold in people, pulling out the good things in people. You have this massive encouragement gift on your life, and I feel like there was resistance against it. When you were growing up, as you grew up, I feel there was a resistance against it that was trying to stop your voice from being heard. Where there were people that were just saying, like, be quiet, or like, or trying to just push you aside, I feel like there was a resistance for whatever reason. And I just break that in the name of Jesus. I break the resistance. I break the resistance, yes, that was against you, an assignment of the enemy. Yes, and I just pray just complete freedom over you, freedom to just let out your voice, freedom to speak the things out in your spirit. And I just want to declare over you that you do hear the Lord clearly. You do hear the Lord, and you're not crazy. You do hear the Lord clearly, and I feel there's one more thing I had for you, And I feel like it's, I keep hearing the word, right when I saw you, it was like so clear. I just heard restoration, restoration, restoration. And I don't know your past. I don't know your family. I don't know what went on there. But I just feel as if there's some woundings that need to be restored. I just want to pray just restoration over you. So if we could just extend, I didn't even get your name. I'm so sorry. I'm not the best at that. What is your name, sir? Ian. Yeah, if we can just go ahead. My name is Michael Ian. It's such an honor, such a privilege to be here with you today. And if we can just extend our hand to Ian right now. Yes, Father. Yes, God, we just pray in the name of Jesus, God, restoration, God. Restoration, what the enemy tried to an assignment of the enemy, God, to attack his family, God, to attack his destiny, God, a rich destiny, God. We bind the enemy in the name of Jesus. We say no more, and we say restoration, God, complete healing, Father, complete healing, God. I just see right now, I see like a river, and it's coming straight from here, like into your spirit. So yes, God, we just release that river of healing, God. We release the river of peace, Lord Jesus. Yes, I just feel anxiety leave in the name of Jesus. Anxiety be no more. Yes, God. Spirit of anxiety leave. That wherever you go, you would feel so welcome. Wherever you go, you would know your worth and your value, that you are loved, you are loved, you are loved, and you are needed. And you are such a vital piece in the kingdom. I just feel the Lord saying over you, well done, my son. I love you. I am so proud of you, my son. I'm so proud of the way you stewarded the things I've given you and all the hardships that you've gone through. I just feel the Lord saying, like, I'm just so proud of you, the way that you just kept moving forward and you just never gave up. Yeah. Bless you, Ian.
Is there anybody by the name of Leslie in the room? Leslie? Nope. Wow. Okay. Sure. Sounds great. Family members? Anyone? Children? Sister? What's that? Uncle Leslie. Okay. Okay, so yeah. God, what do you want to say to Leslie? Yeah, I feel for you in the back there, that it's actually a word for you, but Leslie was a way for the Lord to highlight you to me. But I feel like you know how to have fun with the Lord, and you know how to spend time with him well. And you're such a leader in your environment, more than you know. People look at you and they think that there's weight on your words and what you say and what you do. And the way that you act and live your life is actually an example to a lot of other people. And also, I just feel like you carry this nature of God, just like Jehovah sneaky, you know, like bringing God into situations that that is unexpected and things like that. So, yeah, I just bless you with that, and I bless you to partner with the Lord in your everyday life and just to be ultra-sensitive to his voice and see what he's doing and bless other people through that. Yeah.
I just got a word for you with the tan hat you're holding. It says no on it. On. Great. Sweet. What's your name? Brandon. I'm Bobby. Do you have a business that has something, or wanting to start a business that has something to do with fashion or skateboarding or surfing? Okay. I just felt like the Lord, I mean, I read your hat and I thought it said no, but I feel like the Lord is saying, like, no, don't give up on your dreams and don't give up on, like, the things and desires of your heart. And, like, these things that might be hobbies to you now, or just you like to do them, I feel like they're actually a huge thing that God is going to use. And especially in, like, the business field, I feel like God is going to give you downloads for different things with fashion or skateboarding or snowboarding. And I feel like you actually have a huge influence in that area. And so I just feel like God is just saying, don't give up on your dreams and keep pushing through and keep going for them. So bless you, man.
Hey, Jan. Hey, man, can you stand up for me? This is Jan. I've known Jan for a long time. It's crazy that we're here again. So I have a scripture and kind of like a word for you. I feel like over your life, especially when I was talking to you last night, you carry a key for New Zealand. And I feel like there's an unlocking happening specifically like today, but in the next couple weeks, where you're going to actually step in to who you are as a leader and as a man of God, that it's not just going to be your family's God, but it's going to be your God. And I the verse I have for you is Ezekiel 37 in verse 26. And the Lord's talking to Israel, but I feel like he's talking to you. And it says, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it will be an everlasting covenant. I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My dwelling place will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And I feel like this is a word over New Zealand. Like yesterday I got the word when we were in the Glowworm Cave about dwelling, like the Lord dwells here. The Lord dwells in this land, and you, Jan, carry that. You carry the dwelling of the Lord, the building of the Lord. And so I just, as in front of everyone here, like I call you out as someone who carries what New Zealand needs and what the world needs. You carry the dwelling of the Lord. You are a house of the Lord. So if everyone wants to extend their hands towards Jan. Jan, I speak to your spirit and I call you forward. I say you are a man of God. You were born for such a time as this. This is your time, Jan. You're the one God has chosen. And there's a grace over your life that it won't be your own strength. It'll be the strength of the Lord rushing behind you, rushing before you, surrounding you on all sides. And the breakthrough that's going to come for your life is going to ripple through eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, guys. So good. I just want to do this one more thing really, really quick, last like 2 minutes. Here recently, my family, way too long of a story to tell, but we've seen wild, wild family redemption. My family was split for about 7 years. My brother was involved in a cult, got married, had 2 kids. We didn't see him at all. Estranged, really, really hard circumstance. He came back after 7 years, and it's been a long road, but a beautiful, beautiful road. He got remarried to an incredible wife, and his 2 kids went back and forth between he and his first wife. He and his now present wife have been trying to get pregnant for 5 years. And they had done all the tests. They had had all the procedures done. They had had all the different things trying to get pregnant. Had obviously been off birth control and everything. And they finally were like, you know, we're gonna go for adoption. We're gonna go for foster care. And then my mom and dad just felt like they needed to break off any curses that had been spoken against them. I don't like going demon hunting. I'm not trying to find like what's wrong, what's the root, but sometimes there is that. So I want to go through 2 things in a second, not yet. But the first one is if you're trying to get pregnant or there's someone in your family that's been trying to get pregnant, I want to release that over you. Because I feel like that's in the atmosphere. I wasn't going to do this, but I really actually feel it in the atmosphere. There's a couple people in here who need that, that I want to go after. But after 5 years of them trying over and over again, so they were just going to go to adoption. My parents prayed for them. And literally 2 weeks later, my sister-in-law had a dream. She was like, I dreamed that I was pregnant, but that's happened before, whatever. And just the disappointment, allowing that to just like to come over and like, oh, okay. And then my actual sister has a dream. My mom has a dream. And they're like, hey, we had this dream about you being pregnant. And it's hard because it's such a sensitive subject. But she was like, you know what? I'm just going to take a test. And so they prayed. A week and a half to 2 weeks later, she takes a test and she was pregnant. Wild, wild. After my parents prayed. On top of that, so she's pregnant. So a week goes by and their adoption papers or foster papers all of a sudden flood in after 2 years of waiting for these papers to come through. They flood in. She gets a call a week later that says, hey, there's a baby who's about to be born, is probably addicted to heroin and Oxycontin. But if you want him, he's yours. And they're like, what? And literally within a matter of 2 weeks, they just went to the hospital last week and they picked up this baby. So just like wild, wild story of just crazy, super fast redemption. And we've seen at Bethel a lot of breakthrough in this area. So I want to pray for that. And then the second is family restoration. If you're needing family restoration, I've literally seen the impossible happen in my family. I've seen my parents almost getting divorced and then getting back together, my brother being estranged, coming back, my sister out on drugs and alcohol and everything else, coming back. And we sit around Christmases especially, and we just like thank God and cry. And it's just because of the wild testimony of the impossible. So if that's you today, if you need restoration in your family, your extended family, and or babies, I just want to pray for you. So if you guys could stand up, if that's you. Wow. Wow. Like over half the room. Come on. Jesus, right now. Holy Spirit. Yeah, I speak over every heart standing in this room, every single heart standing, and I speak over their families. I speak over every generational line that has gone before them and behind them for generations and generations. And right now I speak restoration. Be restored. The impossible is not possible, and the impossible hope is rising inside of you, overcoming the obstacle in front of you. I speak shifts. I speak to phone calls even today from loved ones you haven't heard from in a while, that you would get phone calls like, oh my gosh, what's this number? I don't even know. And you're going to answer it, and it's going to be a family member. I speak to just restoration happening, conversations you've been wanting to happen for a really long time suddenly clicking and happening. And right now I speak to every couple in here or people that we know that are trying to get pregnant. I speak to your womb and I say, open up in the name of Jesus. You are going to be amazing parents. You're going to be amazing parents. Jesus, do what only you can do. I bless you right now. I bless you right now with the testimony of my family. And I release grace on every single one of you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Cool. You guys have a seat. We're going to wrap up, but thank you guys honestly so much. It is truly, truly the honor and the privilege just to be with you and sit with our brothers and sisters across hemispheres and oceans and just be with you. It's so, so amazing to be just a part of the vast kingdom of God and see what he's doing all over the earth. He's winning. He's really winning. He's winning all over the place, and he's taken ground left and right. It's really, really good. So, yeah, bless you guys. We love you so, so much. Yeah, you're going to.